really good movie, man.
I liked it a lot. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, in doing the research for this last night, I saw you mentioned that you kind of wanted to write a kind of Twilight Zone-esque story. And then as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, yeah. It told me, yeah, everything made... I was like, oh, that's where it's... Okay, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Sort of a modern Twilight Zone, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
born of indie films and kind of comes out comic book style on the other end, perhaps. But, I wanted to make something... My friend David Frigerio and my little brother Carlisle, we all wrote this together, and we're all fans of that stuff, you know? So this was a case of having sort of an ending and knowing where we wanted to go and then working backwards from there to unravel it. But, big fan of Twilight Zone.
And before the actual ending, it kind of struck me that this could be like the origin story of a superhero.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I wanted people to even... Oh, so that's interesting. Yeah, I'm glad you felt that way. That's the type of thing I hope people are thinking about on their drive home, you know, going, is this something bigger? Is this, you know, sort of a very indie origin story, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's fun. I feel like an origin story almost should be indie in a weird way, you know, like if it's a real honest one.
Right.
Know? So, but yeah.
So how did you guys come up with the story? You said you had the ending?
Yeah, had the ending. And had these characters, this trio, and really sort of kind of we there's a weird thing. I read Stephen King every now and then, and I read one of his books on writing, and he talks about how characters sometimes just start writing themselves in his own books, and I was like, that's impossible, and yet somehow that started to happen in this script where, like, we knew their motivation so well that you almost couldn't choose anything other than what these characters would choose, you know? And that was really weird. It felt like it was the first time I'd experienced what Stephen King was talking about, where a character starts sort of choosing their own steps, which I found really interesting.
How's it working with two other writers?
It's not so bad. I mean, honestly, actually, it's really great. Because it's my brother, obviously, we've thrown a lot of fruit at each other and stuff, and... You know, David really plays the moderator sometimes. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we divide the script up into certain sections and really honor certain voices. So it's not like Jonah is all of a sudden talking one way and then acting another way or something like that. So we kind of split those roles up and we all write separately and after we've done an extensive outline. And then we get back together once we have it sort of assembled and we rewrite together. Mm-hmm. And usually one person, we project it on a wall, we're all sitting in a room, and one person's kind of a designated reader. Often, it's usually me, I guess. So I have a lot of water that I'm drinking because I'm like reading a lot. But we suss it out that way. And the cool part about that is at the end of the day, it's not such a lonely, like, in your head, is this right, is this wrong? You know, it's a more collaborative process. It's a team, and it's fun to be in a team environment often, I think, especially when you're with people you like.
I have to write a bunch of stuff for this and other things, and at times there's no motivation, you know. But do you guys have like I would assume it just makes you more motivated, but do you guys also have like a set schedule? We're going to meet Monday through Friday at this time, or how does that, you know
you guys, well,
are busy, I'm sure.
Yeah right now we're writing another project, and we have a different tactic for this one. We all got together and we wrote a very hardcore outline. It was based off an idea that I had sort of come up with, and I brought them both on board. And then we all got together, wrote a crazy outline. And then, because I've been so busy, and my little brother, Carlisle, he writes really fat, but really well. Mm-hmm. He's championing the fleshing out of the first draft by himself, adhering to our crazy outline that we all wrote together. And then he filters it through David, who is very good with structure and pacing. And then he kind of thins it out and ties it in. And so we actually pounded out one of the fastest first drafts we've ever had of something. It's a much simpler story than this.
Yeah.
It's not quite as complex. But this has been an interesting way to work as well. And then I think what will happen is I'll do a pass on it now. And to kind of get in some of the other visual ideas and things that I had on it. And we'll probably emerge a few months from now with a real solid first draft. But a whole different way of writing, really, because I've been so busy and David's been busy. David just had a baby, and you know, it's been a different process. So
another thing I really liked about the movie is that you didn't treat your audience like dummies. You know, you just assumed they would know where you were going, and you didn't have to feel like the need to explain every single thing. Where I feel like if this were a studio movie,
right,
everything would be laid out. You know exactly the ending, sort of halfway through. You know what I mean?
No, I appreciate that. And Focus is really cool, man. They've been on the film since it was a script, so you know they could have made those notes. But Leah Boomin over there and Peter Schlechel, they're really cool people. They're really solid folks who you know what realm this movie is in and treat it as such. And I think that as a filmmaker, when you're doing a film of this level and you're hoping that, you know, people will go see it and stuff, it's really special to have a company like Focus that supports you in that endeavor. And then I think in a lot of other situations it could have gone another way. Mm-hmm. And you're right, things would have netted had to be black and white at certain points, but they enabled us to sort of explore that, which was really cool.
So I think Lawrence Fishburne is freaking great. How did he come to the part?
You know,
he's such an asset
to the film. Yeah, he just read it, I guess. And he called me and said, man, I really picked up your script and I couldn't stop reading it, which let me know that this is a good film. I want to do it. And I was like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So that was just really darn exciting. And, you know, I'd never met him, so I didn't know exactly what this entailed. And, you know, we were going to have him for quite a while for mm-hmm. the movie. And, you know, he ended up being, like, just a real lion-hearted person, just a really strong, great dude who worked so incredibly hard and brings so much presence to everything that he's saying or doing. Every little, like, eye twinkle or twitch is pretty... Like, he knows what he's doing,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's rare to
kind
see
thought
somebody,
out beforehand.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
This wow. really sort of, like, clever control of everything that I found. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. It's, like, almost mesmerizing when you're watching it. Like, you have the earphones on, you're staring at the director's monitor. It's a strange experience, but really stoked we got him and that he kind of legitimized our film that way. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, is he... I guess walking around sort of in that mode of being a character, or does he kind of pop in and out, or how?
No, he does pop in or out. He's I feel like he doesn't he's so powerful in his presence that it's almost like there is always the Lawrence Fishburne presence, which is, you know, real stocky, powerful looking guy. But and that inherently works its way into his character Damon. Yeah, he's a really good dude, but he goes in and out of character. Yeah.
Like the first day, are you ever sort of like the very first day where you're like, "Holy shit, I'm about to direct him."
Oh yeah,
Fishburne.
Yeah, but you don't actually even think you're going to direct him. You just kind of he's such a great actor that, and this was true to all the kids, like Mary Vernou and Venus, who cast the film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah,
folks.
You got the great.
Yeah,
kids are terrific.
No, they're awesome. They put you know, really talented people in front of me. And at the end of the day, gosh, I forgot where I was going to go with this. Wait a second. Talking about the kids. Well, at the end of the day, they were all really great human beings. They were all really good people I could see being friends like that, you know? And, you know, talent is one thing and how effective they are. I know where I was going with this. But at the end of the day, you could really just let them get into their characters because this is kind of who they are, inevitably. They really are sort of these kids. I mean, granted, Olivia's from Manchester and Brenton's from Australia, so there was an accent thing that they had to overcome. Not overcome, they did a great job. But I feel like as a director and with Lawrence, you're really, on an indie film like this, you're shooting so out of order. The first order of business is just getting the cast set up. Second order of business is not managing performances because they're all so talented. It's really just making sure everyone knows where they are in the film at any given point. You're managing sort of the whole forest because it's easy to get confused, you know, what scene you're coming from, mm-hmm. what scene you're going to, especially when they're all occurring in like crazy hallways and white rooms. It's like it can get confusing real quick and you might have a great performance, but maybe that performance doesn't seem right leading into the next one, which you're not shooting next anyways. You're going to shoot it a couple days later. So as a director, your primary job is managing where you're going and where you're coming from. And then lastly, the last thing you manage is the performance. So I really like kind of tried to take a page from Woody Allen's book, where it's not like you're not really directing the actors, you're letting the actors act. And you're really just managing pacing and so forth, the overall structure. And to me, if you cast it right, it's really empowering, you know.
How did you go about casting the young actors, younger actors?
Just Mary Vanue and Venus, they put these kids in front of me. I unfortunately was in New Mexico a lot, so I had to do it through Skype occasionally. But it wasn't such a big deal.
Do you get the same feel as opposed to being, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I mean, you're seeing them, you're feeling it, you know? It's still like you're going to watch it on the screen anyway. So, you know, you just put your phones on, you're talking to them, you're engaged, and as long as you're not being disturbed, you're pretty much there, you know? And so it works. I didn't find that so bad. I would usually try to talk to them again later and just kind of get a sense of who they are. And
I'm sure they're not jackasses.
Yeah, what they're about, you know? But it wasn't so bad. I thought that was going to be tricky, but it really wasn't.
Was it pretty, I don't know how many people you talked to sort of for each role, but when you talked to, you know, the final three, was it pretty spot on? You're like, oh, this is the guy or this is the girl? Or
oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, kind of at a certain point, especially after you've connected with them, and you're like, all right, this person is this way, this person is this way. You can tell, like, who you think is going to be trouble and, like, not be worth, you know, something. Or who's going to, like, lend you more of themselves. And in this film, I knew we had to really go the extra mile in the sense that, like, you know, Brenton and Olivia, for instance, let me, you know, take them on a quick road trip at the end of the movie for a few days. And we flew out of, I drove them from Cleveland to St. Louis. And we were shooting some of those shots in the fairgrounds. And just very, like, cinema verite stuff. And some actors would not have been cool with that. They would have been like, I don't want to shoot on the weekends, or I don't want to do that. And these kids just, you know, we're all kind of coming up and trying to make our way, and they were stoked and very gracious about all that. So got really lucky with them.
You know, you mentioned this a couple minutes ago, but the scenes where they were in that white room, just Lawrence Fishburne and Brent, it was... I've seen scenes like that in a million other, like, TV shows and everything, and just kind of routine and rote.
Yeah.
And man, you had the tension. You had everything in that. I mean, was that, did that take, like, a lot of rehearsal for actors and, like, you figuring out with camera angles? Or, like, how did you...
I think it's a careful collaboration between good camera angles and the camera being at kind of the right distances to raise sort of intensity and stakes. I think it's pretty easy to be like 4 or 5 feet away and just kind of feel like suddenly you're in a TV show. And then at a certain point, you get close enough or you use a certain lens, it adds like a little bit of that special sauce on top, and you just feel like, whoa.
Even the use of like silence you had too.
Yeah. It's a two-part process. It's how you shoot it, three-part. How it's delivered with their acting, how you shoot it, and then how you're going to edit it later to kind of create that power and the delivery and the moments. And Brian Berdan, who cut it, he was the editor on Natural Born Killers and came up through David Lynch. So his first job was assistant on Blue Velvet, did a lot of Twin Peaks. So he's keen, man. He just, like, every time I watch what he cuts, because I can tell people, like, oh, I'm a good shooter, I have a good eye. And I feel like I do. I can safely, confidently say that. But I'm not a great editor, I just don't know all those tricks. I'm always in awe of how Brian puts all that together in terms of the pacing and whatnot. But, when you're shooting it, you know, they're both there. Even I shoot always, like, both cameras on one person at a time. And you would think you would do cross coverage to kind of speed things up, and usually that is good. It's hard to shoot like good looking coverage when the cameras can get in the way of each other, and it's also nice to just focus on one performance at a time. And I think that's really valuable, you know. And when you do get a good performance, you have it from two different angles, so you can really utilize it, you know. So we did a lot of that, but it was tough. We were sprinting through. It's a white room. And it's just dialogue, so, you know, the AD doesn't want to make that any easier on me. So he's like, all right, we're going to shoot 10 pages today.
Whoa.
Which gets really brutal. It's like somebody asked me the other day, like, oh, well, is it easier when you actually get to relax and go to the white room and do that kind of stuff? I'm like, no.
10 pages?
Yeah, because they know how, you know, this is a white room and they're just sitting across the table. So suddenly the page count on that day has just gone through the roof, you know?
Are you guys sticklers where they have to have every single word correct?
No, I'm not. No, I just want it to feel right.
Yeah.
And you can tell when it feels right. So, yeah, definitely not. The words do not need to be right on. I want it to feel right. And you can tell when you're sitting there whether it feels right or not. You can kind of watch other people. There's so many people watching, and you can kind of, like, see when people are also gathered around the video monitor when they're reacting. You know, there's a lot of, like, yeah, filmmaking is a strange, strange job, man. Very, like, immersive on a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
But a lot of fun.
Did you guys rehearse at all? Because I know it was, what, 29 days, I think? 30 days? Something like that?
Not a ton of rehearsals. They would rehearse, like, right before they would shoot, just to make sure they kind of had the line, so they were right there. But didn't get too much time. Nick and Bo were in the same hotel, so they were able to get together and rehearse on their own occasionally. Same with Olivia and Brenton for a couple of their scenes. Mm-hmm. They would go off and kind of rehearse their more dramatic stuff together. But, yeah, it was pretty... You know, you don't get too much time to, like, sit together and do a table read or something like that on a movie like this. So, pretty crazy how it all turned out.
You know, I never asked this question, but as a filmmaker, how do you find a casting director?
You know... Brian, the main producer who kind of championed the film in the first place, brought her in. He just said, hey, she's great, and looked her up, and she'd done all of Darren Aronofsky's stuff. I had kind of a meeting with them, and they liked the script, and they said, we'll do it.
Oh, it's kind of that easy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you have to kind of, I guess, it's a number of things happening at once. It's like they looked at my last film, probably, and they said, oh, this guy could be somebody, maybe, and the script looks good, and yeah, we'll cast it, you know? Because they put a lot of time and effort into that, you know? And there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hard job. It's really hard. But the cool thing is this. You hit a desert of performances sometimes where you're like, God, is this right? Did I like that one more? Is this right? You know, it's almost like when you go to get your eyes tested and you're like, was that sharper or was this sharper? You know, it's really tricky back and forth. And but the great thing is finally that one hits and you're like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And you rewatch it again and you're just as blown away and you're like, whoa, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's interesting how that can work out. And you know when the flag pops up, you're like, oh, there it is. There's the light bulb.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I'm finished.
Cool, man. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.